Hi, Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pagan Paradise Podcast number 232 on January 14th, 2019. Here I am, changing the world one ass at a time. If you'd like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Become a Patron button on my website. Another way to support my work is through enticeme.com, the Little Black Dress of Pleasure products. EnticeMe offers a very carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, remember to use the coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER. If you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I do offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You will be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. So, hey, everybody, it's been a while. You've been actually quite sweet and not bugged me about not having the podcast done, and you haven't even checked up on me in terms of, hey, are you okay? And so I'm glad you assumed that I was. Let me tell you, in short, about a couple of things that held me up here. The first is something I'm not going to go into detail today about, but it's basically based around fear. Fear, as many of you know, especially many of you receivers who were listening who had to tell your partner that you enjoy pegging and you would like to be pegged, fear can be paralyzing. Fear can bring things to a screeching halt. And although I don't have fear about any of the stuff I do here for all of you guys and the stuff that I put out in the world, I had fear in other areas of my life, and it overlapped into my ability to sit down and make this podcast. So I got past that, and then what happened was I was wearing socks, I was going down 3 carpeted steps, and I slipped and took a little bit of a fall. Not to worry, I am fine, but I did come down on my tailbone, and that put me out of sitting for like 3 days. It was crazy. The sitting down thing was not happening for a while. I spent some time laying on the couch, binging on Supernatural. I think I'm up to season 10 by now. So here I am again, sitting fairly comfortably and doing the podcast. It's great to be back, I tell you. It's definitely good to be back. And oh my gosh, do I have a bit of a backlog here. So we have a lot to get to. First, let's do a patron and donation update.
Yes.
S. Jones is now my patron for $20 a month. S. Jones, thank you so much for your patronage, your generosity, and your support. I really appreciate it. Ubu is now one of my new patrons for $1 a month. Ubu, I so appreciate your support. Thank you for your generous patronage and for your belief in what I put out into the world. Stephen, or Stefan, because he actually is in the UK, is also a new patron at $5 a month. Thank you so much for your support, for being a patron, and for believing in me. I really appreciate it. And I received a one-time donation from Ian of $25. Thank you so much for that donation, Ian. All of it is very much appreciated, gentlemen. And it is all gentlemen this time. Okay, so let's see. The last podcast, one of the things I talked about was the anti-circumcision thing. And I knew that was going to get some reactions and some responses, so let's jump into that. First of all, I did watch the documentary on Netflix. I'm not sure if it's available on other platforms or not, called American Circumcision. That was an eye-opener. Even though I was anti-circumcision before, now I am fully informed and slightly horrified anti-circumcision now. Let me read something to you that while I was watching the movie, I stopped and wrote down because I wanted to read this to you. Quote, "We proved that the most sensitive part of the male penis was the foreskin, and in men who had been circumcised, the most sensitive part was at the site of the circumcision scar. This was published in the British Journal of Urology. The study showed a 75% loss of fine touch sensation in a circumcised male compared with the intact male." That is a quote from the documentary. So I highly suggest you all watch it. I really, really suggest that you watch it if you are going to be having children and are wondering if you're going to circumcise a male child. In the research that I did, including this documentary, I learned a new word. It's called intactivist. And you get the meaning here. Leave the penis intact. Do not circumcise it. Do not cut off the foreskin. So I am an intactivist. And check out this one message that I received that reinforced this word. "Loved your latest podcast, and thank you for your anti-circumcision info. I'm so lucky that my foreskin was spared. I went through a period when I was in junior high where I felt a bit embarrassed by looking different, but I learned to love my foreskin, and now I'm uncut and proud. Wow, your mom was an intactivist? You're right, way ahead of her time." Indeed she was. So yes, I proudly wear that title, intactivist. Here's another message that I received as a comment on podcast number 231. "Hi, I was circumcised at 30. Knowing the two states of the penis, I assure you, circumcision is good. No bad smells, no problems with anything anymore. For real, I think circumcision is the best thing that you can get to get operational at 100% in your sex life." So what I responded to this man was that I was happy that he was happy with his circumcision, but I was also really happy that his parents allowed him to make that decision as an adult. And he kind of misunderstood me and thought that he had went to ask permission from his parents as an adult male. No, here's what I meant. If you think circumcision is an awesome idea, then fine. Allow your male child to make that decision as an adult. So I know I'm stepping into it here, and I'm probably going to get a whole lot more letters, but that's okay, because I believe in this really strongly. One of the things that I hadn't considered about circumcision is that it could possibly have PTSD effects and ramifications if done as an infant, and I feel that it can be very connected to men's mental health. It can potentially start them off with a lack of trust. It can start them off with trauma, and it can possibly even add to their reluctance to form close bonds with others. So, you know, I've been talking a lot on this podcast about the whole man box thing and what we do to our men and our standards of masculinity and blah, blah, blah. Well, okay, here is one more thing that might be affecting a whole bunch of men, circumcised men, is start them off with PTSD and trauma. So deep down, as a tiny baby, you have this PTSD, and are you going to learn to grow up as an adult and really trust to the depths that you are capable of trusting and being open and vulnerable as an adult? You know, the two might have some connections there. So I just wanted to bring that up, and I wanted to let you guys know that I did watch the documentary. I am definitely an intactivist now, and I welcome any comments that you have. The documentary is particularly fascinating because they do present both sides. They do have other people on the documentary talking about how this is a good thing. And these are people who are degreed people. So please do watch it if you are planning circumcision for your children. Or if you are interested in learning more about what was done to you or what you had done to your child. See, there's a lot there. Okay, let's move on to other stuff. Let's dive into some more of your letters. "Hey, Ruby, I wanted to take a moment and let you know how much I appreciate your podcasts. Each one I find that I can relate to at least a portion of the stories and your insight. You have helped me tremendously to feel more comfortable with my own desires. My wife and I speak frequently about our relationship, about our sexuality, and about what direction we would like to head. You have enabled much of this conversation to take place. I also wanted to address the segment in your podcast when you suggested a poster visit the Dead Bedroom subreddit. I have recently finished a book, The Sex-Starved Marriage by Michelle Weiner Davis, that I found enthralling. I literally felt like I had written half of the book. I can see so much of my wife and myself in many pages of that book. I have a high libido, she has a lower libido, and we have struggled for years to come to some sort of agreement or compromise on how much is enough. I think this book will give us the tools to understand what the other spouse is feeling and what the other spouse is needing. Thank you for all that you did with this community that you are spearheading. You are truly a crusader, helping to make people more comfortable with their bodies, with their desires, and with themselves. Thank you ever so much for being the amazing person you are. Oh, you are so welcome. Those compliments are very much appreciated, and I'm honored that if anything I put out there in the world, you have found value in, and your life is better for, that I was a part of that interaction. I literally am very honored. Thank you for the recommendation on The Sex-Starved Marriage by Michelle Weiner Davis, because I know that this affects a lot of couples, the mismatched libidos. And the more information we have about it, the more we can talk about it, the more we have tools to try and deal with a relationship of that sort, then the less that these partnerships are going to end up separating. If you can discover some tools to make it work, that's always preferable than separating. So thank you for the book recommendation. I will pass that on. It'll be in the Linkorama. And everybody who's interested, go there and click on that and check it out. Okay, here is another letter. Oh, this is a response from the guy I kind of dressed down a little bit because he started off his comments saying, it's kind of super fucking hot that at 61 you're running around teaching men how to be good sluts and take a strap-on pounding like a man, right? And I had a little bit of reaction to that, and I explained that. So he wrote back at length, and I would like to read that because it's a lovely reply. He was also the guy who called me the fairy godmother of strap-on fucking, which I was delighted with. Okay, here we go. Please let me apologize for any offense I have caused. Sorry for the length of this, but I want it to be as clear as possible. I listened to the segment where you spoke about my email, and my first reaction is, oh dear, I am so sorry for any offense. That was not my intention. Please allow me to explain, and hopefully I don't further stuff my foot in my mouth. As to the first sentence, my reaction is not that I think you run around just pegging random men. I have no idea about your sex life, but I can imagine that every partner of yours is a lucky person. You're as gorgeous as you are intellectually stimulating. What I was referring to was that you teach men and couples about pegging. Specifically, that you teach men to open up, ignore conventional social constructs, and enjoy the quivering pleasure of a prostate-stimulating orgasm. Whether it's through your classes, podcast, website, or other materials, you are sweet and nurturing in your guidance. The, quote, teaching them to be good sluts, end quote, was my own preference of pegging style, a sort of femdom style, if you will. I am aware of the multiple dynamics of pegging and happily support all types of pegging dynamics. I would never suggest I know better. I got caught up in the moment of sharing my total admiration for you. I should not have imposed my style of pegging on you. I sincerely apologize. Similarly, my take it like a man comment was also derived from femdom strap-on porn. A dom might say take it like a man in a sort of ironic way. In my mind, when she says take it like a man, she is implying, of course men get fucked in the ass by women. Is there any other way to have sex? Also, please pardon my ignorance. I don't mean to suggest that women can't enjoy getting fucked in the ass. I didn't understand why there's a problem with gender being mentioned. And I'm not trying to be argumentative, just curious so I can learn. I don't want to make the mistake again. I especially don't want to with someone as understanding, sweet, and forgiving as you. I also don't want to offend anyone, generally speaking. I'm glad you were not offended by my comment when I said that at 61 you're doing these things. Obviously, I am attracted to you for reasons other than your age. However, your age, in addition to everything else about you, makes it more exciting to me personally. I know that some women stop having sex for various reasons when they reach a certain age. I know that could be in their 40s, 50s, 60s, or later, or earlier. It especially bothers me if it is because of a lack of self-confidence. When I see a woman proudly and confidently displaying her sexuality, it warms my heart, and I hope she inspires others. So thank you for being on here, sharing with us, and inspiring us. I cannot express my joy and excitement that I brought you so much happiness calling you the fairy godmother of strap-on fucking. I am glad that I made you happy. Lastly, and of course, if you don't feel like sharing, I totally understand. But why do you have an issue with people thinking you run around fucking men in the ass with your strap-ons? As I mentioned earlier, I don't think that, but if someone did think that, you would have nothing to be ashamed of, right? And then lots of X's and O's. Thank you so much for this response. And this is going to sound funny, but let me respond to your response. Because this is nice that we're talking about this. I love this when people have a back and forth and it lasts for a little bit. There are still social constructs that judge people who have a lot of sex. So whenever I hear a sentence that implies that I run around fucking all kinds of men in the ass with my strap on, and I know you didn't say it that way, but one that, you know, kind of pushes me into that territory, I react a little bit to it because it does sound a little bit like shaming. And I know in the least you were not doing that at all. And to the last paragraph that you wrote, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. At this point in time, I would like to repeat what I am fond of saying, which is that people who run around having all kinds of sex, if they do it responsibly, consensually, they're honest with all their partners about the existence of their other partners, and they are being totally honest about their intentions, those are just sexually active people. Rock on and more power to you. But there is still this line of the number, right? That people react to. Everybody's got their line with the number. If I fuck more than 5 people at once, am I a slut? Am I then therefore bad? If I fuck more than 20 people at the same time, am I bad then? And there seems to be a break point for just about everyone. But I think that the reality is that if you do this consensually, you're honest with everyone and you have safe sex, you're just a sexually active person, no matter how many people you have time to fuck. So yes, there is that. And the thing about take it like a man, that part of it kicked me into like the man box type of discussion. And usually when you say take it like a man, in whatever context, even if it's getting fucked in the ass, it means, you know, buck up and deal and be stoic. And, you know, just take it even if you don't like it, and take it even if it's painful. There's a lot of implied sort of read between the lines stuff going on there. For example, imagine what would it be like if people, instead of take it like a man, said, take it like a tough person, or take it like a brave person, or something like that, and didn't put gender in at all, because what that does is reinforces the social constructs. And we're getting kind of deep here, but I'm loving it. I really am. There's these little micro things that people say all the time that have effects. And, you know, you can go too far on that and go, oh my God, the whole politically correct speech, and I can't say a fucking thing, and people are going to take offense and react. And man, I get that because I see that happen on Facebook, I tell you. Nonetheless, I am so glad that you wrote back and told me all of this, because yes, I totally get it, that the whole femdom approach, and I really like your idea of course men get fucked in the ass. Is there any other way to have sex? The whole dom thing? That made me laugh. I really like that one. So no apology necessary. Thanks for explaining. It was lovely to hear from you again and have a chance to dive a little deeper into this conversation. All right, moving on to the next one. Hello, Ms. Ryder. Just recently came across your website, and I totally agree that seeing a professional can be an excellent idea. My first time was with a pro, and it was a great experience. I saw her not long after I broke up with my first, and so far, only long-term partner. As someone who was sexually abused as a child, it was a very powerful feeling of being able to, and then choosing, to give my trust to another person. During that session, thoughts of past horrors disappeared, which made me much less anxious in bed than usual, so it became easier to focus on being in the present. I felt compelled afterwards to ask if there was anything I could do to please her, and she gave me instructions on how to pleasure her orally, which I did for almost an hour. I was surprised later, after showering, getting dressed, and about to leave, she came down the stairs and gave me a hug and a kiss on the lips. I saw her a few more times, and on my last visit, I was told she was no longer there, so I don't know whatever happened to her. This was many years ago, and I hope that time has been kind to her. I've not been able to find anyone to peg me since, and since discovering your website, I have been thinking a lot more about it. I am now pretty certain that pegging would have to be a part of any future relationship, but I know that's not going to be easy from everything you've written and said here. Wow, thank you so much for writing in and sharing that. What struck me was your description of how you went to the pro and that past trauma was flipped, kind of. I love the words that you used. It was a very powerful feeling of being able to and then choosing to give your trust to another person. So first of all, you had to be able to give your trust to another person, but then you chose to. And you know, I've said before that when you go to a professional, if you get a good professional, that their job is to give you what you want and what you need. That's their job. So if you have certain needs, they want to know. They want to hear about it. They want to give you what you want because then you're happy, then you'll come back, all of those things. So the description that you had of your encounter was quite heartwarming, especially because of the trauma part of it. It was lovely that you told us that story. And as far as finding someone to be with that is into pegging as well, I am almost done with my webinar of how to find a woman to peg you. So when that's done, please do come and look at it, and perhaps you'll get some good ideas about where to look, how to look, and all of those things. Because I really do, again, wish I had the magic wand that I could create a partner for you. Thanks for the letter. Okay, this next one is from the guy in podcast number 223. He mentioned his wife gave him the best pounding of his life, and now she's lost enthusiasm for pegging. He wrote back, "Ruby, thank you for responding to my letter. It was exciting to be on a podcast. It felt like my 15 minutes of fame. After listening to it, I really have put some thought into what you said about how my relationship is with my wife. In general, we have a good sex life, but for a few years, things did get boring. Sex became more of a chore as we were struggling to get pregnant. I can now say that problem should be over as our daughter was born 2 weeks ago. So I'm sure we will have other issues having sex now that we have a child," laugh out loud. "I do always try and go above and beyond the call of duty for my wife, both in and out of the bedroom. I try, but we all have our moments. And I have listened to podcast number 112, although she has not, but I feel she does understand how much I enjoy being pegged. The last time we did any ass play, she just used a toy on me. I really enjoyed it. She had me screaming with pleasure, and I was exhausted afterwards. But she still has no desire to strap one on, which is sad, because she gave me the best pounding I've ever had back when we were dating. She's happy to please, I just don't think pegging is her thing. As far as the shock rocker, I do have the adapter plate, so I can use any flared base toy. I have tried playing with the adjustments and trying different toys, but maybe I just haven't found the right combination yet. I like the idea of the fucking machine. It looks like it might be an option. I really just want to lay back and get pounded until my eyes roll back and explode with pleasure. I've only had that experience once before and desperately want it again. A friend of mine, an old girlfriend that I'm still friends with, keeps telling me that if I want it so bad that I should just find another guy to fuck me because the real thing is better. Although I did think about it, I've decided that I'm just not attracted to men. Maybe I could bottom for a guy if we were in some kind of BDSM situation and a femdom was ordering me to do so, or maybe just a threesome, but one-on-one with another guy is just not appealing to me. Anyway, I'll try different toys on my shock rocker and maybe that fucking machine. Thanks again, Nick. Nick, I'm so glad that you wrote back, and when I was reading your letter, I decided to respond to it again because, well, first a little context for my listeners. This was back in podcast number 223, and basically, like he said, Nick got the best pounding of his life, and then she lost enthusiasm for the pegging, and so he was wondering how to try and duplicate that on his own. So that was why the suggestion of the shock rocker as well as the Chinese fucking machine came up. But when I read this letter, one of the things that came to mind that I did not recommend to you back in podcast number 223 was a sex swing. Here's why I think that might be something to consider, because although it's a pricey proposition, it makes fucking so easy. It makes giving you the pounding of your life so easy. As new parents, which, by the way, congratulations on your new little baby. That's so freaking awesome. Ease in things is important when you become parents, and ease in pegging can be ultra important when there's not as much interest as you might prefer. Plus, the whole thing of when women fuck, it's a whole lot harder because we don't have those muscles. We're not used to using the muscles that way. And yes, pegging can be an athletic event. It often is. And so sometimes it can just feel really hard. This could be one of the reasons why she's lost enthusiasm for it. So it's possible that if you had a swing, I can't tell you how much easier it is with a swing. It's one of the best investments I ever made. It makes pegging so easy to do because basically you're just standing there and you literally can grab the person in the swing and pull them to you and fuck the shit out of them, okay? If there is a possibility that it's even partly because it's just a little bit too difficult is why she doesn't have the enthusiasm for it, an investment in a swing might be an awesome thing. Because pounding someone in a swing is so much easier than pounding them any other way I've ever found. I mean, sure, you can do the pillow princess and you can ride her, but I get that one of the things that you really liked was that it was someone fucking you as opposed to you fucking yourself. So yeah, the swing might be an option. So I'll put the link one more time to these lovely people. Gym Support, spelled J-I-M. And this is all sounding familiar. I'm pretty sure I recommended this to somebody else really recently, but I just hope that I don't repeat myself too much and that you guys take it all in stride. Nick, this is at least one more idea to consider. Thanks for writing back and good luck to you, sir. Oh, and you know what? Before I sign off, this whole thing about if you really like to get fucked in the ass, you might as well go find a guy. I really wish people would stop saying that. That just completely disregards sexual orientation. It totally does. So good for you that you know that. And you might want to tell your friend that getting fucked in the ass does not indicate sexual orientation. And that no, there are a whole lot of men out there who would say that getting fucked with the real thing is not the best. All right, moving on here. let's see, the subject on this letter is censorship. Hi, Ruby, just read your censorship article. I didn't think it was that bad over there in the United States. I live in Germany, and here I don't get the feeling that things are as bad as over there. Okay, on the internet, because most is from America, we have lost Tumblr for sexy kinky content and such the like. So yes, it does have an effect on the rest of the world. On the other hand, here they've just passed a law that allows for a third gender, male, female, and other. So there are places where things are improving, even if it's slow. So don't get too depressed. The world is making progress, and things are improving. It's just going to take time. Keep the chin up, and keep up the good work. There are lots of people out there who are not so narrow-minded as most of the population in this world. Regards, Stefan. I'm going to call you Stefan because you live in Germany, so it's probably not Stephen. Running into that twice in one podcast. That's lovely. Stefan, thank you so much for writing in about the censorship and particularly for the keep the chin up. I absolutely am, sir. I intend to keep on keeping on and bulldozing my way past the censors, explaining to them why they should not shame anyone for their sexuality, and they should just open up their minds and their bodies. Oh, it's time to play that song. This is for the censors.
Free your ass, your mom will follow. Take it deep, now don't be shallow. Free your ass.
All right, here's another letter. Hi, Ruby. My boyfriend brought up pegging. I had also been interested in it previously through an introduction in porn. He's my first everything. We bought a strap-on for him the other night and a fleshlight. I wanted him to feel good, but felt unsatisfied and not good enough for him. He came multiple times with the toys and not me. I did not get off. Part of it might be that I don't or haven't recently enjoyed masturbating. And depending on someone else to get me off is unhealthy in itself, I think. But I don't know how I can feel good. Will a vibrator help? Maybe you covered this in your podcast or a blog post somewhere. I'll try to find the answer. But please, if you have time, let me know how I can enjoy it as much as my boyfriend does. Okay, so let's begin at the beginning here. When you first start pegging, there's a fair amount of technique that can occupy your attention. Because you've never done it before. Because you've never really fucked someone with a fake cock strapped onto your hips, right? So that can be a distraction. And that in itself alone can prevent orgasm. But I would encourage you to not depend on orgasm at the same time. First, allow yourself some time to learn how to do it. And it sounds to me like you're fairly orgasmic. So probably an easy adjustment of equipment would be all it would take to get you to that place. But that requires the answers to a number of questions. If your orgasms are G-spot oriented, then getting a toy that has something that stimulates the G-spot would be a good idea. If you are more clitorally oriented, then you would want the vibe on the clit. If you're both, then you want both. And there are toys that can do all of those things. I'm not sure what equipment you bought because you didn't say. Cheap equipment will absolutely affect your ability to really enjoy it. It's awesome that he had such a great time. It's awesome that you're absolutely willing to continue doing it. You just want to experience more pleasure. I do want to point out this one sentence. I wanted him to feel good, but felt unsatisfied and not good enough for him. Let's parse that sentence a little bit and talk about it. You probably made his dreams come true pegging him. So that in itself should be recognized, acknowledged, and appreciated. You should appreciate that in yourself. You did an awesome thing and you did pegging for him. There are not that many women who were totally down with that. So good on you and yay. I encourage you to let go of the not good enough for him. If that phrase that you used is connected to the fact that you didn't come to, oh, honey, like 90% of us don't the first time that we peg our partners, and probably more than that. So please do not put that on yourself that you weren't good enough because you didn't have an orgasm too. Hopefully that's not where that connection is. Hopefully you just felt not good enough for some other reason. But again, no matter what the reason is, I encourage you to let that go. Practice is fun. You've never done this before. Give yourself a break. The learning curve is steep. And there's so many different things to try. That's the thing. There's different positions to try. There's different equipment to try. There's all kinds of things that you can do. And sometimes the sexual act that you're doing just doesn't end up resulting in you both having an orgasm. And that's okay too. For example, if you give him a blowjob, do you have an orgasm too? No. When he goes down on you, no. Is there more of a potential for you to have an orgasm too through pegging as opposed to giving him a blowjob? Absolutely. And that can probably happen. But at the same time, don't set your sights on that as the ultimate, I have to do this goal or I'm going to feel bad about myself and I'm not going to be happy. Because there's so much to enjoy with pegging. And whether you get to that orgasm or not, there's probably many, many other ways for you to get to it. Afterwards, before you peg him, all kinds of things. What I would suggest is that you take my webinar, the beginner's webinar, because you're going to learn a whole lot of stuff about tips and techniques and things like that. And then I'm almost done with the advanced pegging webinar. These are both online and they're free. And the advanced one, the very first thing I do is take a very deep dive into equipment and tell you about all the different possibilities, because there's so many things to consider. Equipment will probably provide you with the orgasm you seek, no problem. But again, not knowing the answers to the critical questions, I can't tell you what to get. And if I had to throw out some quick equipment suggestions, Fuse makes some great toys that nestle into the vulva area and have a great vibe insert. And the vibe to pair with that would be the WeVibe Tango, which is the strongest mini vibe out there on the market. So I'm going to put a couple of links to those two toys, the Fuse singles, as I call them, because Fuse does make a double-ended dildo as well. The Fuse singles all have inserts for the vibe, and they come in a variety of sizes. Since you guys are beginners, I'm going to put a link to the beginner size, which would be the Harmony. If you just put Fuse in the search window, you're going to come up with a bunch of different sizes depending on what size your partner enjoys and that you want to use. But that WeVibe Tango Mini Vibe is definitely the best vibe out there to use with those toys. If you enjoy the clitoral and the G-spot, then you might want to try a double, but you're going to have to think about that, because if you're finding that pegging is fairly difficult, using a double as well is adding one more layer of complexity to the whole issue. And I'm not sure if the harness that you have is compatible with doubles either. But the double is pretty much the way to get the G-spot stimulation that you seek. So the Tango is the name of the Fuse double as well. It can get confusing because the WeVibe Tango is the mini vibe and the Fuse Tangle is the double-ended dildo. They both have the same name. And I joke that, yes, they're doing the two-step. I say that every time, right? You guys can almost repeat my jokes at this point. Anyway, that's like a quick rundown of equipment. But what you really want to do is to educate yourself so that you can make some good choices on equipment. And I think it'll solve the whole issue. But again, before I leave you, I encourage you to let go of feeling not good enough for him. If you feel unsatisfied, man, I get that. I totally get that you feel unsatisfied. And there's ways to take care of that, whether he's doing it for you, you're doing it for yourself or whatever. But don't have huge expectations on yourself to have an orgasm while you're pegging your guy. It probably will happen eventually, but hey, it hasn't happened to me yet. So I represent one end of the spectrum, okay? It's really okay if you do not orgasm through pegging. And just to show you how awesome you are and he is and you are together, it's pegging celebration time. This music is for you. On the right-hand side of my website, you will find the link for the webinars. The next one is coming up on the 26th. Thanks for the letter. Here is the next one. Hi, Ruby. Glad that you decided to tell people how to improve their dildos, as I have done, to prevent abrasion issues and give a more realistic feel. However, to describe it takes too many words, and so it has to have a name. Since I seem to be the only one that has figured it out in such a simple and adaptive to the situation form, and since I have worked 15 years in biomedical engineering, it would seem appropriate that I get to name it. It cannot be patented because there is nothing new involved, just a new combination of existing materials and parts. The user gets to pick the four parts, dildo, lube, condom, and tape, and adapt it to their situation. The possibilities are almost endless, and you get to expose this simple and effective device to the whole world. Okay, before I tell you the name, which is the rest of this letter, this refers back to the guy that said, hey, if you want a more realistic feeling toy, and also one that is less abrasive going in and out. Use electrical tape, tape the bottom of the condom, put lube in the condom, and you kind of have a skin that slides back and forth on the condom. It's pretty simple, actually, and he described it in detail, I think, in the last podcast. So then, here he goes on to say, okay, for the name. My name is Phil, and in Latin, that literally means love. Therefore, my little creation is called a Phildo, which literally means love dildo. It relates to both the function and the creator of the design, not to be confused in any way with the Tantus Fildo. However, you can improve a Fildo and turn it into a Fildo if you want to, or just about any dildo for that matter. If a double-ended dildo is involved, it would be called a Phil-duo. Oh my goodness. By the way, those who are really into BDSM can replace the vinyl electrical tape with a stainless steel hose clamp that they can get at any auto parts store for about $1.50. Laugh out loud. Just not my thing. Maybe some hot pepper sauce for lube that would slowly diffuse through a thin latex condom. Oh, the endless possibilities. Ha ha. Best regards, Ducky Phil. Boy, you really pushed the boundaries on the end of that. I don't think I'd want any kind of metal hose clamp going in and out of my ass. Thank you very much. Any edges? No. Let's not do that. And the pepper sauce? Well, I have heard of people doing that, actually. Oh my goodness, that was an interesting diversion. Thank you, Ducky Phil, for naming it the Phildo. All right, here we go. This is actually a little comic relief thing. I got this message, and I just wanted to read to you simply for comic relief. Hi, Ruby. I'm a straight man, and I like female sexual domination. We men are your sexual slaves, and we must satisfy your sexual wishes upon request. In pegging porn, I mostly like to watch when a woman fucks a man hard in doggy-style position and with hair pulling with a 6-inch strap-on. Please make more porn like that. We are your bitches. Please, please, please. All right, that's it. There's so much to laugh about here. Solidly into fantasy land, sir. The thing that surprised me was, why only 6-inch dildo? I mean, if you're going to be in fantasy land, why not 10-inch dildo, right? And hello, I don't make porn. I don't make porn at all. Oh my goodness, this one really made me laugh, so I wanted to share it with you. I appreciate the comic relief. That may not have been what you meant, sir, but it definitely made me laugh. All right, here's my next letter. I am 34 and my wife is 33 years old. We have been together for 17 years. She isn't actually my wife, but we both like it like that. My wife asked me what I want for my birthday. I am sexually open-minded, and it felt like a hot idea to change roles. So I asked her if she would try pegging me. She said yes. I enjoyed the act. I didn't expect it to be so overwhelming afterwards. It made me feel like butter on a hot pan. Although I felt weak, I still liked it. Problem is, I want it more, but she doesn't like doing it. She does it because she knows I like it, but I feel like I'm forcing her. Is my only option to stop being pegged, or is there another option? I would really like it if she would keep pegging me. Can you please help me? Is there something that may help her to like pegging me, or could I do something? Any ideas would be helpful. Okay, so get out your pen and paper because I'm going to reel these off pretty quick here. First of all, you need to have a clean side of the street. What do I mean when I say that? I mean you need to be the best partner you can be to this woman. You need to be helpful and considerate and kind and nice, and you need to do the dishes and cook sometimes, and you get my point. You need to be the best partner that you can be, okay? So above and beyond that, you also need to be the best partner that you can be in bed. You need to try and send this woman to the moon and back with pleasure, doing her favorite things to her and leaving her a trembling, happy woman who is so thrilled that you are giving her so much attention. If both of these first two things that I mentioned, if you do these, then she will be much more motivated to satisfy what you want as well. I'm thrilled that you asked for what you wanted for your birthday and she fucked you, which is totally cool. So she's not totally opposed to the idea. But here's the next thing. It's quite possible, since you don't mention how you guys talked about it or that she had any kind of reaction, it's possible that she may have had some concerns about it and some misconceptions, because it's quite common to have these concerns and misconceptions. So I would suggest that you check into podcast number 112, listen to it yourself, and see if this is something you think is appropriate for your wife, because it addresses all the common misconceptions and assumptions. It focuses and concentrates on the relationship and not trying to convince, but trying to inform, because I suspect that's what's holding her back. A lot of times when it's sort of like, you know, she just kind of doesn't want to do it anymore. Well, if you've asked her why she doesn't like doing it, you would probably have really good information. But I understand that sometimes those conversations can be difficult to have. And because you're asking for pegging to begin with, that can be a little uncomfortable as well. It is quite possible that it's just not her thing. She hates it. She doesn't like it at all. It's pretty yucky. For whatever her reasons are, it's just never something that she's going to do. And if that's the case, then you totally have to honor it. However, if you haven't explored other options, like, for example, you sit down with her and you have a conversation and you say, why don't you like it? Well, I don't like it because it's uncomfortable. Well, maybe it's uncomfortable because you have bad equipment. Well, I don't like it because it's hard to do. Oh, yes, it can be hard to do. So maybe then you do the positions that are the easiest for her, or you get a sex swing or something like that, so it is easier for her. Well, I don't like it because it wasn't clean enough. Well, then you learn how to do better cleaning so that you're pristine. See what I mean? There's so many different possibilities, but unless you've actually sat down and talked with her about it, then you don't know. And in the misconceptions and assumptions area, it could be she thinks if she fucks you that you're going to eventually want a cock and you're going to replace her with a guy and you're going to leave her. See, there's so many different things that it could be that you really need just to have a conversation with her. I think what will open up the conversation is podcast number 112. Listen to it first, see what you think, and then let her listen to it. And you two are both very, very welcome to attend my webinar on beginning pegging, because I think that will give you lots and lots of really good information. If after she's listened to 112, and then maybe if she still is willing to, takes the webinar with you and has no interest still and doesn't want to do it, you just have to respect that, because that is her saying, you know, I tried it, and this is not something I really like to do. And before I sign off here, just to show you how many different things that there could be, it could also be that she puts on the pegging equipment and goes, oh man, this is fucked up. I feel like a guy, right? There is some beautifully feminine pegging equipment that can make her feel much more like she is still the feminine woman, if that is something that is stopping her from strapping on what basically amounts to a fake cock and fucking you, right? Because that is something that women can react to as well. See, there's a lot of reasons. Okay, good luck with all of this. Let us know how it goes, and please do write back if you have any more questions. And by the way, I really, really liked your description of it. Made you feel like butter on a hot pan. Yes, I've heard that before, and yes, it can be very overwhelming. So I hope you two find a way back into Pegland, and that it is a happy, consensual, enthusiastic thing for you both. Here's a very short one. Can you direct me to any information I could share with my girlfriend about how she can create dominance? I would be greatly appreciative. Thanks, Dean. Dean, one of the first things that I would suggest is to get a couple of books. The first is called The Sexually Dominant Woman, An Illustrated Guide for Nervous Beginners by Janet Hardy. I'll put links to all these in Linkorama. One is The Loving Dominant by John and Libby Warren. And then there is The Topping Book, which is by Dossie Easton and Janet Hardy. All of these are fabulous books and give her a whole bunch of ideas. And you know what the other thing you can do is? You can become a $5 a month patron, and then you will have access to all of my pegging erotica, because you know what? The vast majority of my pegging erotica is female dominant. Not all of it, but a whole bunch of it. And she can get all kinds of ideas about the ways that you can be dominant while pegging a guy. And just kind of in general. I have a particular fascination lately with the concept of chastity, or that the woman would be in control of the man's orgasms. I really like that idea, whether it's with a device or not. And there is no more intense feeling, I think, of being controlled than to have someone control your orgasms. I think that's pretty damn hot. So anyway, those are my suggestions. And if you want a flavor of sort of how I write, you can check out the free stories on my website. If you go to my website, it'll have a drop-down menu that says erotica, and then there'll be a link to free stories so you can check out those and see if you like them. And I'd be happy if you want to email me to send you a few more if you have like a little suggestions like, you know, she really likes X, Y, and Z, then I can send you the stories that have some X, Y, and Z in them. So yes, those are my suggestions. You can also find all kinds of female dominant stories on Literotica and a bunch of places like that, but you really have to wade through the bad writing and the bad stories. So I think it would be much better if you became a patron. Thank you so much for the question. I hope you get the dominance you seek. Here's my next letter. Hi, Ruby. Regarding wearing things usually worn by women. There are some practical considerations regarding part of this. Women have most of their sensitive parts neatly tucked away, yet are considered perfectly normal, wearing smooth, silky stuff down below. We men, on the other hand, have everything hanging out, but are expected to wear what is one step off burlap. I never understood how the heck someone came up with that idea. Men also have the issue of needing support for certain activities. I used to go to the gym several times a week for sports with others. I always wore tight men's briefs while we played. After showering, I usually put on women's panties before going to work. I'm sure people noticed, but nobody ever said anything. Other underwear, such as negligees, do delve into a certain area, but I think panties can be separated. I know that some men's underwear is available in smoother fabrics, but the assortment is limited, and it's easier to just go to the women's section and buy the right tool for the job. And this is from Fred. And Fred, I'm not sure if you're the one that gave me this link or not. I don't know whether to attribute it to you or not, but I really want to get this podcast done, so I'm not going to research every little detail. However, I do have a link in my podcast notes for hisroom.com that has really sexy men's underwear. It does lean more heavily into the men's styles. There are some lacy things in there as well. So this is really quite in line with what you were talking about, because they look like this wonderful silky materials and stuff. So I'm going to put that link in the Linkorama, hisroom.com. Yay. Thank you for talking about that. That's pretty cool, and you make some excellent points. I have heard that many times. Men are like, really? Have you touched boxers? Do you know how not silky and soft they are? Really? So yes, wear those panties. I love it. No matter what the reason, whether it's just because you've got your dangly parts and they need something soft and smooth, or because it's fucking sexy. Okay, moving right along here. Here's my next question. I'm thinking about making my first Bad Dragon purchase. My favorite toy right now is the Vixen Creations Mustang. It seems to really do the trick. But these Bad Dragon toys look like, and all in caps, so much fun. I'm really thinking about the Nox. Medium size, medium firm, and with a suction cup bottom. I don't think the super textured ones, or the ones with the giant knots, would be pleasing to me, at least for starters. Do you or your listeners have any suggestions for Bad Dragon dildos for pegging? Thanks, Ruby. Here's to a much sexier 2019. And this is from Brian. So, Brian, well, I have asked for the Nox several times from Bad Dragon. The drama continues. The conversation continues. I shouldn't call it a drama, but to recap, I wrote them and said, do you have an affiliate program? They wrote back and they said, well, we did, but then we took it down because it wasn't working well. And we're going to do it again. We're going to do it by the fall, which was like last fall. That didn't happen. And they said, so, hey, have you ever had a chance to try out any of our products? Because we could send you one or two. And I said, yeah, that'd be awesome. I would love to. Here's what I'd like. And, you know, it's really funny because I think I asked for a Knox small size, medium furnace. And I can't remember about the suction cup bottom. But anyway, yes, I dictated the color, too. And I dictated another toy, you know, all the parameters for that. And I gave them my shipping address and everything you need, right? And they never responded and they never sent it and nothing. So then I wrote back and I said, look, I'm kind of confused because I never got it. Are you going to ship it or what's happening? And they never wrote back. And I wrote again and said, hey, so did I offend anyone by asking with such specificity for any toys to be sent to me? Because, you know, if I did, I apologize, but I really would like to try one out. And I've come so close to buying one. But I'm still sending this guy comments and things because, I mean, we talk about Bad Dragon all the time here. I mean, there's the whole thing about turning a double into a thicker diameter toy by using the Bad Dragon sleeves. I mean, I told them, check their Google Analytics and see how many times links from my Linkorama have gone to their website. All right, there's my rant. I do not have a Bad Dragon toy yet, no. I've asked for one more time because they came out with this beautiful, beautiful purple blue color. See, they do colors like every month. That's one of the things that makes them such an exciting website and exciting place to buy from, too, is all those incredible colors. So I wrote again and said, so, hey, I still would love to get a toy, and this is a beautiful color, so what do you say? And if you're not going to send one, let me know so that I can buy one. And I have not heard back. They haven't responded. Here's what I suspect's happening. I don't think I offended anyone. I just think they're way, way, way too busy. And I think that all of my messages are going to the same guy. It's Mike. It's like he's a supervisor or owner or something. And he just hasn't had the time to get back to me. And it's sort of like, oh, that woman wrote again. Right, right. I should get to that at some point. That's what I think is happening. But I don't really know. I invite any of my listeners who love the Bad Dragon toys and have things to share to write in and give Brian some information here. And yes, here is to a sexier 2019. And by the way, even though I don't own one, I have heard nothing but good things about Bad Dragon toys. So at least there is that. And here is the last letter for the podcast. This is titled, How Things Have Changed, parentheses, long story. Good evening, Ruby. So today I left work early to attend the webinar, and you delivered exactly what I needed. I think it's time to tell you my story. About a month ago, my husband fell asleep at his desk with his chat open. I told him to go to sleep and I would take care of everything. I grabbed his phone and shut down the computer. When I looked at his phone, I noticed an app was open, and I hit the home button twice to close the app. Surprise, surprise, I see that Google is open to Reddit Plugged. I click on the page out of interest. It was butt plugs in men. Now, I'm very confused and distraught because my husband never mentioned anything about this. Angry, I go and do the wrong thing and look at his Reddit history. There it is, Reddit pegging, which now I see was porn links to pegging. I was hurt, really hurt. I didn't know what to do. I looked through his phone some more, worried this was an affair-based interest, and nothing. So I try sleeping. When he wakes up, I try to approach him. I'm sure my approach was not the nicest and most welcoming because until a month ago, I never knew. I asked with an angry tone, "What is this?" And instantly, he came clean. He told me about the Broad City episode about pegging and about how I was very negative about the exploration of pleasure, and he has tried to keep it a fantasy. To be honest, I didn't know what to do. I asked him to let me have some time to evaluate what he was asking. Of course, all the common misconceptions came out, and it hurt to think I was a bad wife. I started with approaching Reddit and putting my curiosity on the table. And then came Ruby Rider and Pegging 101. You made me feel comfortable about what I was trying to understand and cleared every hurdle in my way. It's been less than a month, And not only have I given my husband pleasure from fucking him with toys, no harness, last night I truly and deeply enjoyed it. I love to know I'm making him moan and have that experience he deserves. He's the most wonderful person. After what had happened, he started listening to you too. He told me tonight that you said something that made him realize something in himself. Make sure your side of the street is clean, or something like that. He has worked every day on truly communicating with me, and it has been this beautiful change that makes me so happy. He knows where he struggled before and works every day since to change that. I can't begin to thank you. I know this happened on the chance of serendipity, that I did something stupid and something so beautiful happened. Then to find this woman who says she wants to change the world, one ass at a time. You have helped us so much. After revealing something so deep to me, he decided it was my turn, and now we are working on my kink. Role-playing, but not the gender, but like sexy secretary. I know, pretty vanilla, huh? But seriously, thank you. I'm sure he would have come around, but now that we are both taking that time to educate ourselves and listen to other situations, we are this loving couple that lost that a few years ago. I don't just send you this because I want to share my story, but because I think women sadly see there is a problem and sneak to make sure their husband aren't seeking an outside source for pleasure. I am someone who has been hurt by every man until I met the love of my life. I may have done something wrong, but I think that I may not be the only person that has found their significant other's kink by accident, or with purpose, out of caution of feeling. As a woman with a lot of anxieties about herself, I can see where women get all these misconceptions. For sure I know I did. As I said, I believe what you are doing in the form of sexual education and discussion is wonderful, and I truly appreciate it personally, since you helped my husband be a better lover, communicator, and all-around man. Keep changing the world, one ass at a time. And it's signed Crystal Hayes. Oh my goodness. Wow, that is quite a story of discovery, of diving into it, of talking about it, of enjoying about it and learning it. Oh my goodness. What you described better than I think any other letter I've received is how you felt when you first found it and how honest you were about feeling angry and hurt. I know that that happens a lot, but I like that you wrote about it and that you were honest about how you felt and that you told him the same thing. And to have him come clean, like right off, is awesome. The tone sometimes is something that's hard to control when you're emotionally reacting to something. That's a difficult thing. So I'm so glad that you two got past that. And I'm thrilled for you that he has taken my keep your side of the street comment to heart. That he has taken it totally to heart and that he's being the very best husband he can be for you. I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled. I cannot wait to hear from you guys again and play that music for you. Woo-hoo! Thank you so much for writing in. Okay, my next webinar, the only one that's on the books right now, is January 26th. That's a beginning pegging webinar. Pretty soon we'll be posted the two new ones, Where Can I Find a Woman to Peg Me, and the advanced pegging ones. Those are coming right up, folks, before the end of January. I know that I said the advanced one was going to come before the 15th, but, you know, I'm thinking since the fear and butt delay, that's not happening yet. But I'm absolutely working on them. They're, again, about 60% done, both of them. It's funny because I kind of go back and forth working on them, work on one for a little bit, work on the other. That's kind of how it works for me with PowerPoint presentations. They're an interesting kind of work to try and create. But I'm having a great time with it, and I so look forward to when they're done and trying them out for you guys. And I will be trying them out with my patrons first, just so you know that. So if you're a patron and you're listening, I'm going to hit you guys up on Discord, as well as one of the emails that you get every week, and let you know that it's done so that you can be one of the first people to check it out and give me feedback. Oh my goodness. Okay, we are done for today. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum, or pegging101.com, where I have informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps. You can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Please send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too basic, too bodacious, or too much like butter in a hot pan. Oh my goodness, many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thanks for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.